This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, in Sydney. Climate first, and the headlines are stark. It is early spring. You watch your step because of brown snakes, of red-bellied black snakes. You watch your step because of magpies. You watch your step because it's raining. The headline, heavy falls of up to 100 millimeters and storms set to hammer much of Australia into next week. The advice, this is from Sydney News 7, hold on to your umbrellas. Most of the country gears up for a drenching. And then there are predictions. Jeremy, I'm 48 hours behind you on this chart. You had a big two or three big lows moving across the whole of the continent. What is it doing right now in Sydney?
G'day, John. Well, I can say right now we're in a lull in the weather. It's actually sunny out there. I can see a few clouds in the sky, but we've actually had a break. But oh my goodness, this week has been incredible. We've had not only the lows that went through the bottom half of Australia, but they were accompanied by a strange mix of highs as well that came in from the west. And I tell you, John, I've never seen weather like it here. Not only did we have the rain here in Sydney, so we had driving rain, which is very, very similar, very, very normal right now, but down in Canberra, they actually had a weird kind of snow. And I say weird because it was a snow that was mixed in with ice. It looked almost like hail. And this came on the same day as about Wednesday, Thursday, when we were getting driving rain. So what that was telling us was that there was a very unusual cold air pocket that had come up through the east coast of Australia that was mixing in with a warm air pocket to the north and really driving those very, very strange weather conditions. And then as we went further up the coastline again, up into Queensland, not only did we see the rain, but we saw the storms, the driving winds. And again, we saw those horrible, horrible flash flood conditions that we're just getting so used to. But then as the first day of spring hit us here, everything stopped. It almost stopped on a dime. The weather completely slowed down. We suddenly got this beautiful weather and we're almost enjoying ourselves and into thinking that we're about to enjoy a really nice, subtle spring. But unfortunately, it's only just a few days away, John. We're going to get absolutely hammered, as he said there. There's going to be rain, floods, and just wind once again. So you know what? I'm already looking at where I'm going to put the sandbags.
Have you had thunderstorms or is just drenching rain? What's the weather like when it's raining hard?
We had and I keep using the word unusual, but it was unusual. We did have an unusual thunderstorm on about Wednesday night. It was a lot of rain came through, a lot of wind, which is normal. And normally you can tell when there's going to be a storm because the humidity goes up, the temperature goes up as well. But there was a very short period where we actually had a lot of thunder and lightning in basically a cold system, which you don't normally see. So we did get the thunderstorms, but it's just, honestly, John, it's just that driving rain, that's just that constant pounding and just that really, really wet feeling is what it's like. And we were lucky we didn't get any flooding in this first batch that came through this week, but I think we're about to get hammered by it.
Is Victoria getting hurt more than you? It's at the bottom of the continent. Is that catching it the worst?
It's catching it a lot worse when it comes to wind by far. They tend to get gale force winds much more readily because Victoria, being on the southern part of Australia, is very much exposed to the Antarctic conditions, which means that very cold air that comes up from Antarctica has a lot more pressure behind it, which means they get very, very high winds. But interestingly, because it is a little bit colder there, they don't have enough cold air that mixes with the warm air to create that rain condition that we then get here in New South Wales. So Victoria does get it worse when it comes to blustery winds, which also do a lot more damage than some of the flooding on many occasions. But they didn't quite get as much rain as us, and it's really just because they're not such a tropical climate.
Is this your Labor Day coming up?
Yes, it is. And that's the thing too, John. This is why it's almost a spring miracle, we might call it. We're actually going to get nice weather tomorrow for our Labor Day holiday. So I can tell you, I know in this neighborhood alone, we're already getting the Barbies out. We're already planning to actually have an outdoor springtime for the first time in a very long time. But you know what? The next day, the Tuesday, that's when we're about to get hit.
All right. We'll speak of the creatures later because barbecue means you're outside and then you have to pay attention to the creatures. But we go to two concerns from the European conflict. You know I work on this all week long. The question of food security has been with us for some time. That's why all the attention to getting the grain and fertilizer out of Russia and Ukraine, it's not happening sufficiently. So we have food insecurity in Latin America, for example. Peru is short of fertilizer. So is Brazil. At the same time, we now have energy security questions because of the attack on Nord Stream 1 and 2 by unknown actors. NATO points to Russia. No evidence yet, but it was striking that there was simultaneity in the attacks. That has led Sweden and Finland and other NATO countries to look at their energy infrastructure. Now, Australia, far away in another galaxy. However, you are rich in coal. You're rich in lots of things, but coal. Has the coal industry changed its posture? Are they hiring? Are they opening up new coal faces? Because Germany, for one, needs all the coal you can send them.
Interestingly, John, not really, because the reality was about 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, the Australian coal industry identified there would likely be a spike in demand around this period anyway. And that put aside the war in the Ukraine and all the other events that have occurred with the climate. But Australia thought there would be a spike at this point. So what happened was there was a massive push to increase generation of coal and be able to transship it much earlier, because we also knew, too, that coming out of the COVID period, there would probably be a much higher demand around the world. So at this point in time, there's not extra demand or extra hiring going on, but there is a very high production of Australian coal. So Australia is already ready with its coal reserves. It can actually get the coal to countries that need it. But I think what's really the industry that's probably most growing right now is still the logistics industry, because while it's easy in some ways to produce the coal here in Australia and say we've got a lot of it, but actually getting it offshore, that's the trouble. So what we're seeing is that the logistics industries, the airlines, the shipping, all of those at the moment are going through quite a growth. So you do tend to see new aircraft charter companies coming up. You do see a lot of shipping lines hiring people for the docks and also their vessels. And it's basically to really get the coal and other commodities to where people need them.
Your food, you have massive, very good food, starting with the meats, but going through all the grains. Is there a special demand on food, on wheat? They can use everything you've got. Do you have fertilizer that you can ship?
At the moment, the fertilizer, I believe, is mostly being used here in Australia. There has been discussions about whether or not fertilizer would be sent overseas. And I think really what it came down to as far as the nation was that our fertilizer exports would remain the same. But certainly our food production has gone up. And that's in part due to the fact that with all the rain and the extra sort of warmer weather coming through, crops are producing a lot higher than normal. So instead of having surplus there, there are plans to try and get a lot of that overseas and sell it off, because otherwise it does go to waste here in Australia. But I think in part of the reason that we're seeing this unusually high production rate is because, one, the weather has created the conditions for it, but also, two, coming out of COVID, Australia was already identifying there would be worldwide spikes in demands for all our commodities, including food. So we had already made this slow ramp up. And then when the war in the Ukraine began and these crises overseas kicked in, what we had predicted would be caused by COVID was actually being caused by other factors. So we were already, as Australia, basically postured for this position.
Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales, reporting on the climate, energy, and food. They're all related. We understand that now. We have the ambition to concern ourselves with climate going forward into the centuries, but we have demand in Europe that exceeds anyone's expectations. And the lack of security for energy means a lack of security for food. It's all one great big quandary. When we come back, it's creature time, and Jeremy introduces me to a new bird to worry about when I come to Australia. Remember, I've had this flimsy saying that every creature I've met in Australia is trying to kill you. Well, there's another one. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.